Supposed to be a really beautiful day. And so, no excuse for you not to be back this evening, 5 o'clock, for our fourth Sunday fellowship where we'll be having soup supper. I've got four varieties of soup that we'll be preparing, and you just bring whatever you'd like to have with the soup. You want to have crackers and, you know, whatever else you want to have with it, drinks and desserts. That's what we'll be doing, along with some singing this evening at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. So that's our fourth Sunday fellowship for this month. Now, next Sunday, immediately after the worship service, we'll be having a fellowship meal, and it is our men's appreciation dinner. So please keep that in mind and plan to come to that and bring, you know, the food and so forth, the fellowship time. So that will be planned. Ladies, put that together for next Sunday after services, all right? So that's what's going on over the next couple of weeks. Now, we have been talking about, over the last several weeks, DTR. And DTR stands for what? Define the relationship, okay? And as we've been talking about this, basically looking at the idea that says in relationships, every single relationship, you need to have the DTR talk, okay? Whether you're talking about a relationship between boyfriends and girlfriends, whether you're talking about work relationships or employers and employees, whether you're talking about relationships even within the church, we need to define what the relationship is all about. And also, we need to, in terms of that relationship discussion, these are the things we've got to focus on. What are the expectations in the relationship of everybody involved? What are the boundaries that are set within that relationship? And then, what are the roles and responsibilities? So we look at the relationship, and these are the things that need to be figured out and discussed in order for the relationship to be strong and healthy and to progress. Now, the other thing that we've said is, our relationship with God requires the define the relationship talk also. Okay? Why? Because it requires the same kinds of things. What are the expectations in the relationship with God? What are the boundaries within that relationship? And what are the roles and responsibilities within that relationship with God? And another thing that we've discussed in this is, and realized that when God brought the Israelites out of slavery, in Egypt, he had the DTR talk with them there at Mount Sinai when he gave them the law. And he said, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people, and this is how things are going to be. And this is what I expect from you, and this is what you can expect from me. So God had that DTR talk with the Israelites. He has had that with us through his word today. The DTR has been done by God. The problem we have in religion today too often is that people want to define the relationship with God on their own terms. Okay? They want to set the parameters. So you can ask different questions like, what makes a good Christian? And you'll get all kinds of different answers. Because again, people want to define the relationship as to what makes a Christian, what are Christians supposed to do, how are we supposed to act, what's, you know, all of those things, the expectations, the boundaries, all of those are different when people start defining the relationship on their terms instead of accepting the terms that God has already defined. One of the things that we've also said is that there are no negotiations in the relationship with God. Okay? He has already defined the relationship. And typically when you're having this DTR talk in relationships that we have with one another, there is a lot of negotiation that goes on. We look at what does each one bring to the relationship? What do we expect? What are the roles and all of those kinds of things? And again, the goal to that is that we have a win-win situation. That everybody wins in the relationship that we have. Well, again, there's no negotiations in the relationship with God. He has defined the terms of the relationship. But as we've said all along, the really great thing is that it is a win-win situation for everybody. God wins, as we've said, because he wins souls. Okay? And whoever gives their life to Christ, they win salvation. So it really is the ultimate win-win situation in the relationship when we accept God's terms of the relationship. So what we're doing in this study, all right, is we're looking at some different aspects of a relationship with God. A couple of questions that we're looking at. First of all, how has God defined that aspect of the relationship? And then secondly, how well are we following the way God has defined that part of the relationship? So this morning, in this next segment of our study, we're going to be talking about how God has defined the relationship with us as a light. Okay? A light in the dark world that we live in. Okay? So as Holloway read for us, we looked at Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, where Jesus talks about being salt and light. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Now here's something that you may not have ever realized in reading this passage before, but I want you to notice something that he says here, okay, that I think is really tremendously significant. Notice that he says, "You are salt and light." Now, why is that so significant? Well, because he doesn't say that you will be someday salt and light. He says you are. That's present tense. Okay? Now, again, why did Jesus designate those who at that time were following him as being salt and light? Okay? Simply because that's what they were. They were following Jesus. And he said, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Keep in mind that this is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is on the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus first began his ministry. Okay? So they had just begun following him, and here's the real significant thing. They didn't require a whole lot of training beforehand. Didn't require a whole lot of instruction. Jesus just simply said, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." When you're following Jesus, that's how he defines you, as salt and as light. And we can be that without a whole lot of technical training and a whole lot of other things. Just simply being a follower of Jesus, we are salt and light. Right? "You are," he says, "the salt of the earth." Well, what does that really mean, to be the salt of the earth? Here's the text. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Well, back then, and still today, salt is used for two main purposes. One is to give flavor. And for most of us, we probably use too much salt, right? Okay, because, you know, in fact, I told the nurse when they told me about my diabetes and she's telling me about my diet and I need to change all these things, I said, "So can I put salt on the cardboard that you're telling me I have to eat now?" You see? Because we like salt and we want to put some flavor into whatever it is that we're eating, because that's what salt does, right? The other thing that it does, just like the picture here, they used it, and people still again today, still use salt to preserve food. All right? It keeps it from going bad, basically. That's one of the properties of salt. So if you think about those two uses of salt, how does that apply to us today in terms of being the salt of the earth? All right? Well, I want to suggest to you this thought. As followers of Jesus, being the salt of the earth, we need to so influence the world that we, in a sense, flavor it with God's love. And also, that we keep as much of it from going bad as we can. See, we're adding flavor, and we're preserving as much of it as we can. We are the salt of the earth. The world is rotten, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to look very far to see that. The world we live in is rotten. Okay? And so, you know, what we need to be doing as much as possible is we need to be preserving. In other words, saving as much of it as we possibly can. And at the same time, we need to be adding some flavor to people's lives. Now, don't misunderstand with us. We can say, oh, flavor? Isn't there enough of that going on in the world? Okay. Yeah, but it's the right kind of flavor. You see, what the world tastes, it's like it thinks that it's good, but it's not good. We need to be adding the right kind of flavor. That is, that in Christ Jesus. Notice that what he says in this part of the passage. Not only are we the salt of the earth, but then he says, if the salt has lost its taste or its flavor, how shall it be, its saltiness be restored? And look at what he says. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. I understand that back in that day, having salt that was actually good for eating and so forth, that wasn't just readily available anywhere. There was lots of salt. Okay? But here was the problem. If the salt got wet and if it deteriorated, then literally there was nothing that could be done with it except to be put on the roads or the paths. And that's what they did with the salt that had gone bad. They would put it on the roads or on the paths. You couldn't put it on the fields because it would kill anything that you were trying to grow. But they would put it on the paths, the walkways. So literally it would be trampled underfoot. It wasn't good for anything else. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Our task, as he defines the relationship with him as us being salt, is for us to make sure that we continue to have that saltiness about us. That we can continue to add flavor. And we can preserve souls. Because otherwise, we're not good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on. He also says that you are the light of the world. And light shines in darkness, doesn't it? Okay? Why does he designate those who are following him as the light of the world? Well, it is basically for this reason, to show the way to true life. That's what light does, is it lights up the darkness. And here's an interesting thing. Those who are in the darkness cannot help but to see the light. Now, they may not go towards that light, okay? But they cannot help but to see the light. If you think about it, if you're in a dark room that is totally pitch black and you light a match, anybody else that's in that room cannot help but see that light. You cannot help but to see the light that shines in the darkness. So one of the things we have to understand about being the light of the world is that the world does see us. They see us. They can't help but to see us when they're living in darkness. The light is shining in the darkness. Here's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. Again, there's that you are. Not you will become, but you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And notice what he says here next. In the same way. in the same way. As that light is put on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Why? So that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. You see, one of the things we've got to remember about being the light of the world is that it's not so that we get the glory. It's not so that people look at us and go, oh, look at how great they are. In fact, much of the world is going to look at us and say, I don't like that. But those who are truly seeking the light are going to see that light in us, and they will praise our Father in heaven. That's how God intended for our light to be, the effect of it on the world. And that's how He has defined the relationship of us being a light, so that we would shine in the darkness, that other people would be drawn, not to us, but to Him. Right? Think about it this way. A lamp is lit so that people can see their way in the dark. Okay, everybody with me? Alright? God lit you as a lamp. Let it shine. Okay? God has already lit you as a lamp. Let it shine. It's not, again, He's going to light you. He already has. You are a light. Don't hide that light under a basket. Let it shine. Okay? Now, let's talk about where do we let this shine. Well, we need to focus on in Jerusalem and Judea. Okay? We have talked about for a long time, we've talked about the idea of what we refer to here as my Jerusalem. Okay? Everybody remember, you know, what that's all about. And basically, you think about, and this is a diagram of the city of Jerusalem in the first century. Okay? And basically, the idea of my Jerusalem is taking the city of Jerusalem and looking at it from a standpoint of my immediate friends and co-workers, my circle of influence that I have in those immediate relationships. It's my neighbors, it's my friends, it's my family members, it's my co-workers. It's people that are connected to me on a regular basis in my life. That is my Jerusalem. And what we've been trying to do is to focus on reaching out to those people and allowing our light to shine, and for us to be that salt in their lives as we talk with them about the Lord and we share with them our story and all those things that we've been discussing up to this point. And so that is our Jerusalem, right? Everybody follow me on that? Okay. Well, it's time to go to Judea. Okay? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, okay, here is a map of Palestine, okay, in the first century. And that little tiny box right there is Jerusalem. This bigger box represents Judea. That is the larger region all around Jerusalem. All right, we have been focusing on Jerusalem. But it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone. You see, it's one thing to talk to family and friends and co-workers, people that we know fairly well. That's one thing to do that. And by the way, we need to keep doing that. But the challenge for us next is for us to get out of Jerusalem and into Judea. In other words, to people that perhaps we don't know. That we talk to folks and share with them strangers that still need to hear about the Lord. And our light still needs to shine. They still need flavor in their life, and they still need to be preserved for the Lord. And so the challenge for us is to do what Jesus told His disciples to do before He went back to heaven. He said to them, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." We'll talk more about Samaria and to the ends of the earth later on. Let's just focus on getting out to Judea for right now. Okay? So everybody follow me. What I'm trying to say here is, okay, it's one thing, and we've been focusing on Jerusalem for a while. Now it's time to go further. Just as Jesus instructed his disciples, you're going to be my witnesses, not just in Jerusalem, but also in Judea. In other words, you need to take the word and share it with other people. And that's where our challenge is for this church family from this point out. Okay? One of the things you have to keep in mind is Jesus said that to his disciples. They were better equipped at that time. This is now at the end of Jesus' ministry. They've been with him for 3 to 3.5 years, listening and learning and all of those things, experiencing this time with Jesus. So they're better equipped now to go out into Jerusalem, but also to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus so equipped them to do so. And what we want to do here is to work on equipping each and every member here to be able to go into Judea as salt and light. And that's the challenge for our church family here at Edge Hill. And that brings us to what we've been talking about, and you've heard, you know, Brian's talk a little bit about it. I've mentioned it a few times, and about the CERT program. Okay, the ministry that we've begun to focus on being able to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, the CERT program that the community has, all right, is Community Emergency Response Team. Ours is Christian Emergency Response Team. So we're using the same acronym, okay? And as we've mentioned before, in order for us to do that effectively, there is training required. That's one of the reasons why Dale, as we mentioned in our Bible class time, 2 weeks from now will begin a Bible study on, you know, basically some different things and how to talk to people about the Lord, okay? We're wanting to do some more training and teaching to better equip everyone. And so our Bible classes, and not all of them from now on, but a lot of things we're going to be doing is going to be focused on that effort so that you can be equipped to go not just to Jerusalem, but also out into Judea and share the word. Okay? So, and by the way, just a little side note on that, okay? What we're going to be doing in all this training is taking away your excuses. Okay? Everybody following me here? I'm just laying it on the line for you here, all right? Because, you know, a lot of times we say, "Well, I don't know enough of the Bible," or "I don't know how," Not going to be any more of that. If you don't know, it's going to be your fault. And you will then have to stand before the Lord and tell Him why you didn't get the training you need. Okay? So, if I stepped on your toes, you know me. I'm not apologizing, okay? Because we need, Jesus said you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, okay? And he didn't say that just to give you a title. He gave that to us so that we would do what he called upon us to be doing, all right? And so we're going to be doing the training and equipping for everyone so that you can truly be the kind of salt and light that he wants you to be effective in the world and bringing people to him. Okay, here's a couple of things to consider. Do we see lost souls as a real emergency? Okay. If you don't, then you won't respond with the urgency that it requires. If you do, then you will prepare yourself to respond. And I guess what I'm suggesting to you is it really comes down to this. See? How do you see people that are lost in their situation? Do you consider it to be an emergency? In other words, that we need to be out trying to save souls. If they die separated from God, they are lost eternally. Do we recognize how serious and important that is? If so, then we're going to take seriously the equipping and training of ourselves so that we can be effective salt and light. If we don't see it really as important as it is, then we're just not going to do it. The CERT bags. Okay? The community emergency response people, the teams, they go through training. In other words, they don't just give these things out to anybody. You go through training. You sign up for training courses, and they teach you a lot of different things about how to respond in an emergency. In other words, if we had a, let's say, a tornado that came through this area, these people are trained ahead of time, and the idea is that they can do immediate emergency response to help out in a massive situation like that until the first responders can get there and so forth. So they're there to take care of things until. And once they go through all that training, they're given this bag that has a lot of different emergency equipment in it for them to use for their job. All right? So you came in this morning, you noticed back on the back pew, there's a lot of these bags back there. These are our CERT bags. Okay? And what we have done is put these together, and you notice that I have up there some different things that are in these bags. We have within each one of them, and let me point this out, each one of them has two of these plastic bags that has things like socks and nabs and water and just a whole bunch of different things that will help take care of someone's physical needs. There's two of those bags in each one of these red bags. And then there's also, whoops, went to the wrong place here. There's also some tracts in there, okay? There's a couple of them on there about what I need to do to be saved. There's a booklet on baptism and the significance of baptism. There's basically a small little concordance in terms of finding topics in the Bible. All of those are in these bags. Now, let me make sure that everybody understands how we want you to use these bags. What you do, you see somebody out there, maybe somebody that's out, a homeless person out in the street corner, they're asking for handouts or what have you. You give them, you can give them, I'm sorry, I keep pushing the wrong button here. Okay, you give them one of these bags. And as you have opportunity, you give them any of these tracts, talk with them about the Lord, share with them. That's what you give them. You do not give them this red bag. Okay? I want to make sure everybody understands me. So we just give them this whole thing. No, you do not give them the red bag. That is yours to keep in your vehicle. And once you give the things out that are in there, you go back to the supply room in the back and you refill it. So you have it ready for the next time. Everybody understand that, how that works, okay? So there are a lot of people that already have gotten bags. The rest of them are back here on the back bench. If you have not gotten a bag to put in your vehicle, then please pick one up before you leave today. So you'll have that, and you'll be able to use those resources. Again, you give those things out to folks, then you can refill your own bags if you want to. If you've got things at home you want to put in there, whatever, then do that. Or you can come back here and to the supply room in the back, and you can refill your bag with the things that are back there. We do need to continue to resupply the things that are back there. So that list that's in the bulletin, that's what that's for, is for the things that go in those plastic bags. So any of those that you can contribute, donate, you can just bring them in and put them back there on the white shelves that are over in the corner. That's where all the CERT stuff goes. Just to keep us to have a supply so we can keep those things filled and going. All right. So that's what the CERT bags, that's what those are all about. So again, if you don't have one for your vehicle, then please pick one up this morning. We don't have enough for everybody, then we'll make more and so forth. All right. Anybody have any question about the bags and what to do with them? I want to make sure we're all clear on that. Anybody? Okay. Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth. Right? And we are the light of the world. And since we are, we're a city on a hill. But as this person said, and I don't know who the quote comes from, we're never going to change the world by standing still. So we need to be active. We need to be moving, doing things. Okay? Remember your calling. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's how Jesus has defined this part of our relationship with Him. So sprinkle your salt and shine your light on a dying world. You are already salt of the earth and the light of the world. The question I want you to think about while we're singing our invitation song is, what are you doing for the Lord as salt and as light? Okay. You need some guidance, and of course, again, we're going to be providing lots of training and teaching. You need some guidance, some help, encouragement, whatever it might be. Let us know that, so that we can better equip you to be the salt and light that God wants you to be, that He created you to be. Now, there may be somebody here this morning that maybe there's some things going on in your life that you know should not be there. Maybe some things that Satan has got you all tangled up about and wrapped up in. We offer a time where you can seek forgiveness. You can seek prayers and guidance to help to overcome any of those kinds of things that might be going on in your life. It's also an opportunity for anybody to be able to come and to say, hey, this is what's happening. This is what I need. These are things that are going on in my life, as well as you just have some praise things that you want to give praise to the Lord about. We have an opportunity for anyone to do any of those things. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. I'll be up front. Jerry, you're going to be up front also to receive anyone that would like to come up here. And certainly, if there's someone here who is not yet a Christian, if you haven't given your life to Christ, but you're ready to do that, then you have that opportunity right now. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let us know. Wes, let's stand together and sing.